Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
Kofi cat parafaka?
Go vegan parent fucker. The song is called Go Vegan Parent Fucker.
Why the parent fucker though?
I think he's trying to be non-gender specific. Like, I don't know.
Dude needs protein.
Go vegan parent fucker.
I don't think there's any more lyrics.
Wow.
Everybody, you are listening to the Chonilla podcast. I'm Chloe.
And I am Cherylai. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Chonilla podcast for a second.
Parent fucker.
It threw me off. You're listening to the Chonilla podcast, a personal comedy journal of a interracial couple who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences. I am Chalet. Did I say I was Shirley yet? This song.
Are you still working on your notes?
This song threw me off.
Go vegan, parent fucker.
Who are you? You already told us who you are.
I am Clove.
And I'm Chalet.
Yes, and it is Saturday, October 5th, 2019 at 5:55 p.m.
in the motherfucking Eastern Time. Woo!
Song. Go vegan, parent fucker.
Threw me off.
As designed. So how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to know the word of the day?
Please.
It is hegemonic.
Hegemonic?
Hegemonic.
Like demonic?
Oh, boy. Okay, so.
Wait. Has to do with money?
Okay.
Or. Some kind of gathering.
Okay.
Some, I don't know. What's it mean?
I'm not going to tell you what it means, so, but I'm going to give you context first.
So then you can take
a second guess.
Okay. What's the word again?
The word is hegemonic.
Hegemonic.
Okay. So the context is, it bears repeating that John's role models were men who displayed a different type of masculinity, but still inhabited hegemonic masculinity all the same. Does that help?
Say it again.
Okay. It bears repeating that John's role models were men who displayed a different type of masculinity, but still inhabited hegemonic masculinity all the same.
It's dangerous, like it's like problematic, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, it's an adjective.
Okay.
And the definition is ruling or dominant in a political or social context.
Okay, it's problematic.
Yeah. So hegemony is the political, economic, or military predominance or control of one state over others. In ancient Greece, hegemony denoted the political military dominance of a city-state over other city-states. The dominant state is known as the hegemon.
Oh, okay.
All right. There you go.
Good word.
Mm-hmm.
Hegemonic. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd use that word, though. You know, it's one of those words that it may come up. Like, I would be like, wow, I use that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a phenomenon, and I can't remember what it's called. But it's when you hear a word and then you start hearing it elsewhere.
Oh, yes. There is a, I read there's a word for that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Me too. It's like a psychological thing too. It's like, It's because that happens because you don't look for it at first. Mm-hmm. And when you are, when that comes up in your vocabulary or in your, this is what, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you're going to go shop for a car. Right.
Right.
And then you have this specific car in mind.
Right.
And then you start seeing it everywhere.
Right.
Right. It's like, because you didn't,
yeah, this car is
unique.
You
didn't look for it before. And now it's like, it's in your conscious. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We'll try and follow up with that.
Yeah.
So, anything exciting over the week?
We did our first in studio production.
Woohoo!
Of, interview style for like video marketing
corporate marketing
campaign. So that was really dope. Mm-hmm. I was extremely nervous.
Oh my God. You wow. Okay. Please continue.
I was nervous because I realize I always plan for the worst, and it's really gonna take me out if I keep doing this to myself.
Okay. So let me add.
Clove
if
is
I
going
will.
To add the list. Okay.
What were you saying? You said you...
I hold that stuff in.
No.
I put on a strong poker face.
Yeah, but just before that, you said something, and I wanted to add to it.
I plan for the worst.
Yes.
And, all the time.
But then you make a plan B, and a plan C, and a plan D,
and
it just doesn't stop.
It's bad. And it's bad because, I mean, there's no...
But it's beautiful at the same time.
It is. It's cool, but then it's excessive. That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
It's excessive because it becomes a big, huge waste of time. Mm. Because I'm planning for plan A and plan B and all the way up to F.
Right, right.
And it's like, you can have a plan B. I'll stop. I'm trying to learn to stop at C.
Okay.
Gotcha. You know, to have a backup of a backup of a backup. Backup and then that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
You know, so I'm trying to, yes, that's going to be my new thing.
So you're going to do three worst case scenario plans every time.
Yeah.
That's where you draw the line.
Yes. Instead of seven. God. Oh my God. Okay. I'll bring it down to two.
Okay. So I've got.
Ain't nobody seven, got time for
I've
that.
Got, I've got seven rocks in my boot. let me take them. Let me take only like four of them out just to be safe.
Yes. Because you never know when you need a rock.
Yeah. You'll never know.
Yeah. No, I realize. And I.
Is it possible though to become like so prepared that that's actually what starts making you nervous?
Yes.
Yeah.
Overly prepared.
Right.
Sometimes makes me. I think it.
So how do you reconcile that? Like you're.
I think it drives me bananas. Sorry to interrupt.
Right.
I think it's because I over plan, and then if things are outside of that over planning, I freak out because I was like, I'm over planned. Nothing should be. It's,
gotcha.
It's a control.
Okay.
It's oh my God. It's a control issue.
Uh oh. Uh oh.
It's a control issue.
I hear you.
Yeah, it's me like trying to control the unpredictable.
Damn.
That's cray cray.
That's hard work.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard work. But you know what? That's what life is though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find patterns and for control, I guess.
Yeah. And it really does stem from growing up because, you know, it's growing up where I felt like I can't do nothing. I can't do right. I can't do like whatever it was. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's like,
wow.
it's
funny you should
it's
mention
never,
that.
Like,
I'm going to get into that a little bit later. It's something I learned on the internet called the double bind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. We don't. Yes.
You, yeah. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. I'm going to break it down.
That's how I grew up. That's how I grew up. So everything that I do, decisions that, you know, when you're like, I seem so indecisive.
Sorry. It's a narcissist tactic, eh?
Yeah, well, that's what I grew up with, right? So,
ooh.
Yeah.
All right. trigger warning.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I realize, like, yeah. You know what? I'm going to bring it to having a plan A and plan B. And that's it. I have to embrace the unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could, yeah. I'm learning to embrace the unpredictable.
You know, and it's that stuff kind of comes naturally when you start to become more familiar with everything.
Yeah, that's why I need an assistant.
Yeah, there you go. Let them become more familiar with everything. Perfect. I can dig it.
Yeah. How about you? How was your week?
It was good-ish. I was feeling a little bit depressed this week.
Why?
Just, you know, chemicals in my brain just saying, hey, you should be depressed right now. And I'm all like,
Anything that triggered it?
It's just waves. It's waves of like, it's just, it'll be like a chemical imbalance. Where it just like comes over me and it's just like, I need like just time to just process, like just, I don't know.
Maybe we should look into your diet. We should look into it.
Sure. Okay.
No, but you know.
Sounds good.
At our age, diet makes a huge difference in how we feel.
Yeah.
You know, not just how we look.
But here's the kicker, though. Mm. This week
is
a lot better than I've ever felt when it comes to being depressed.
Okay.
Like, it's like there's depression and then there's like depression. And this week is feeling depressed without feeling like I've slipped into depression. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Are you considering to take something for that? Or I'm telling you, food is like.
Sure. Yeah. 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 No, I know as soon as I follow up with my doctor on it, because I've already talked to my doctor about it. Hmm. And as soon as I follow up with my doctor on it, I know that it's going to come with those kind of exercises. So yeah, I know. Yeah. It's diet will come for sure.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Bankruptcy is almost done.
Yes. Oh, it's getting there.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. It's been a rough ride.
It has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was talking, because you mentioned bankruptcy. I don't even know how the subject came up, but.
Bankruptcy? I just.
No, but not.
I just switched.
No. But you reminded me of a conversation that I had with Baby.
Okay.
And how I was telling her about having. You know, like being mindful about how they spend or talking about credit. So and she was like, what's credit? So I explained it to her. what did you say to her? Basically, I explained to her, like, it's like, you know, it's like you go to a bank, you borrow some money, you go to a financial institution. Yeah. Usually it's a bank or you get a loan or something.
Yeah.
And then you say, I need $100 because I need to do this with this $100. And they're like, sure. But then they put an interest on it. And then you have to pay like $150 back. Let's just say.
Right. Yeah. You're giving her nice whole round.
Right. Numbers, yeah. And then she's like, what's interest? It's like, I said, it's like a charge on top of the money. And then
do you remember the world when you thought like, what's interest?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So then and she's like, what? And I was like, so then I showed her, like, we're in the kitchen. And so I showed her a bottle. It's like, if you want, you have a pancake, right? And you're like, yes. I said, you want to put syrup on that pancake? She's like, yes. And I said, well, you have to buy this bottle in order for you to put the syrup in the pan. You know, on the pancake. Mm-hmm. So I said, it's like you're buying money. You know, it's like if you go to a store and there's a bunch of rows of money on a shelf, and then that $100 cost $50 on top of that, that's what you're getting.
Right.
And she was like, what? She's like, but if I borrow $100,
yeah, it's like,
shouldn't I just give back $100?
Yeah,
I was like, no, I know it doesn't work like that because they need to make money, and it's their security at the same time that you're going to give that money back. But they figured since you're going to borrow that money, they can make money on top of borrowing that money. And she's like, what?
Yeah, can I buy $10? That'll be $11.50, please. Like, what?
The whole time she's like, why don't I just give the $100 back? Yeah. I was like, well, how are they going to make money?
Oh, capitalism.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. I've got some Bible scriptures tonight that we're going to go over and learned a cool thing on the internet, which was the double bind, which I'm going to go over. Mm-hmm. And I got some news. So,
ooh, yeah. You got some news?
I sure do. Whoa. You know what? We probably have the same news.
Probably. So we'll see. I got some news too. Go ahead.
All right, let's do this.
News, news. I like news, 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 news. What is in the news? Yay, the news is not bad.
I never want to not stop hearing this.
I'm going to upgrade it.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't have that voice anymore. What's in the news?
All right. So the leader of the political party of Canada in Quebec, paid for a billboard that says, "Say no to Antifa."
Oh, for real?
Yeah, which makes it sound like he prefers fascism. But I'm not surprised.
It's Quebec.
Yeah. Say no to anti-fascism.
Oh, gosh. So let's move on, because I can't with Quebec.
Who does that?
Did you see the video with Jagmeet Singh, since we're talking about Quebec?
Yeah, I got it queued up, too.
No way.
I sure do.
I had no idea. Is this in your news?
It is.
What? Talk about it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm supporting you.
That sounds great. That sounds great.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Hello.
How are you? Good to see you. So, are you okay?
Yeah, it's a good too.
Pleasure to meet you.
You know what? It's a pleasure to help you.
Oh, I think Canadians look like all sorts of people. That's the beauty of Canada. That's okay. I don't agree, sir.
In Rome, you do like Rome.
Hey, but this is Canada. You can do like whatever you like.
That's the perfect answer.
Yeah. You know he's. You know.
Okay, so hold on. Before we go in.
Excuse me.
Mic
control.
If the sound quality wasn't very good on the video, yeah. So what he said is he leaned in and he said, "You should cut your hair."
Can you please describe for the people who can't? You know, because. See,
he's a large white male
mm-hmm.
walking up to Jagmeet Singh mm-hmm. and telling him what he should do.
Large white man around the age
yeah.
of
telling him what he should
do. He seems like late 60s, 70s at least.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's just telling him how he should appear to make him feel better.
Well, this is what he said, because it was in case you didn't hear it, but he said he leaned in and he said, you know what you should do?
You should cut your hair.
You should cut your turban
and
look
more like a Canadian.
That's what he said. And then Jagmeet said what he said.
Yeah.
Which was pretty clear. And then he said,
douchebag.
Yeah. And then he said,
when in Rome,
when in
right?
Rome, you must do like the Romans.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I love how
that's
he's
insecurity
like
insecurity at its best.
Yeah, and he just walked away. And this happened in Montreal, of course, Quebec, and at the Montreal Atwater market, one of my favorite places when we lived in Montreal.
That was at the Atwater market.
Yep.
I knew it was at a market, but mm-hmm. okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
On a more somber note, I guess it's bittersweet. 5,600 residential school survivors from the Blood Tribe in South Alberta were fucked over by a douchebag lawyer, David Blott of Calgary, who misrepresented them and charged excessive fees. Noted in two previous investigations, Blott had re-victimized his clients and treated them like cattle. The judge who certified the class action lawsuit against Blott said Mr. Blott lacked an understanding of what it means to be a lawyer. He had set up his practice in such a way to maximize profits and minimize the effort required, rather than provide them with the support to which they were reasonably entitled as clients.
Mm.
They were preyed upon and exploited. It's reported that Blott stole something like $21 million from the federal program.
Whoa!
And resigned as soon as the Law Society of Alberta started poking around. Yeah.
So he's not going to like be prosecuted?
I don't know. Don't know.
More likely not, because in Canada, it is a huge problem. Like white collar crime is a thing that you get away with easily in this country.
But this report comes from after a judge had signed off on being okay with pursuing him in a class action lawsuit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
everybody around sees he's done something fucking egregious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And there's going to be legal repercussions from it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he, yeah.
He's an asshole who saw an opportunity.
One of them that got caught.
From a marginalized community. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
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 One of them that got caught in this country.
Mm-hmm. Grifters.
Yeah.
Grifters!
I just wanted to say in the news as well, Diane Carroll, pioneer actress of Julia and Dynasty, died at the age of 84.
Mm.
She was, I remember her, I mean, Dynasty. And I loved her. And she was like that. She, for me, when I was a little girl, was Dynasty Owl when I was a kid? I think I was like 10, between 10 or 12. No, between 8 or 11. Anywho.
I was probably watching Starsky and Hutch or Knight Rider.
More likely. Yeah. But okay. I remember seeing her for the first time, and she looked so glamorous. And I loved how mean she was. Like, I loved.
Wow.
I loved to hate her, but loved her because she was so like in like all the white people's faces. No. Most importantly, she was always, I can't remember Joan Crawford's, the role Alexis. I think that was her name, Alexis.
Right.
And I loved every time how much she bugged the hell out of her and just get under her skin and was always like, this is not,
Right.
Like her reads were so subtle but beautiful.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I remember just like, wow, when I saw her.
Okay.
And then later I wanted to like know more about her. And that's how I discovered about her being like, I think she's like the first African American woman who had like a sitcom, I believe, on television.
Okay.
Being a star, like a starring role.
Okay.
And that's how I found out about like, oh no, she's been doing this like way before. Like she's not new at this.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, shout out to her family. May she rest in peace. Diane Carroll,
cool.
Man.
Mm-hmm. Well, not very cool, but
yeah.
Thank you for the info.
Yeah.
Is that everything you had for news?
No.
Oh, go.
Oh, do you have other
news? My news is done.
Oh, there is a Shuping Wang. She was a whistleblower who exposed HIV scandal.
Oh, yeah.
In China, who I recently saw that in the Facebook died. Group. Yeah, she died at the age of 59. She lost her job for being a whistleblower. She was attacked. She had her clinic vandalized after she spoke out. And she died in Utah in the U.S. There's a play that's inspired by her life that is currently running in London, with the playwright calling her a public health hero. I believe the organization in China or some organization tried to stop this play to happen. But basically she... why that she spoke out is because back in 1991, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in the Chinese province of Henan, Dr. Wang was assigned to work at a plasma collection station. At the time, many locals sold their blood to local government-run blood banks. It wasn't long before she realized the station posed a huge public health risk because they had poor collection practices. Including cross-contamination and blood drawing, that meant many donors were being infected with hepatitis C, from other donors. So she thought it was just hepatitis C. Later, she decided to take action in her own hand and do further studies, and then she realized that she discovered one donor had been tested HIV positive.
Oh, shit.
And they're continuing to, you know, run poorly, but had still sold blood in four different areas.
Oh.
So she immediately alerted the seniors to test the HIV in all of the blood stations in Henan province. Again, she was told that it would be too costly to do that. So what she did, they were like, no, we're not going to run tests, after she was saying, we're not running this properly. And they said, no, can't afford it. That would be too expensive to retest everybody, right? So she did her own thing.
Shrug.
Yeah, like, yeah, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we're just spreading, you know, a disease, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so she decided to take it into her own hands, buying test kits, like, out of her own pocket, and randomly collected over 400 samples from donors. When she discovered, she found that there was a rate of 13% of the samples were HIV positive.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So then she warned the senior colleagues, like, okay, this is not a hepatitis C. Now we got like HIV.
It was that Chernobyl effect, right? That like, holy shit.
Yeah. So she warned the colleagues at the station to change their practice, but she was ignored. And according to her own account, was told that such a move would, again, increase costs. Undeterred, she reported the issue.
Because that's more important than all the lives of the people with HIV now.
And Henan is a very poor area. I don't know now, but at the time in China. And so undeterred, she reported the issue to the Ministry of Health. And as a result, the ministry later announced.
Wait. Sorry, do you think this could be like one of those like Tuskegee things where they might have done it on purpose?
I don't know.
Oh, creepy. Anyways, go.
As a result, the ministry later announced that all donors would need to undergo hepatitis C screening, reducing the risk of disease being spread. But because of her whistleblow, Dr. Wang said she was forced out of her job. So she,
of course she was.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's an interesting story. I was like, oh, I wonder if there's a play, I wonder if there'll ever be a movie about it. So that should be interesting.
All right.
Another news as well. There's a how an immigrant scheme steers newcomers into Canadian trucking jobs and puts lives at risk. Basically, an investigation about the trucking industry. Mahan Singh remembers feeling terrified he would lose control of an icy highway and kill someone.
Oh, shit.
His new employer has had sent the 26-year-old rookie driver out to navigate a semi-trailer through treacherous mountain passes. There was no training, he said, who had been in Canada as a visitor for a few months when he got his first job under a temporary work permit. I was scared. I didn't have any idea it would be like this. Mr. Singh, who comes from Amritsar, northwestern place in India, had never experienced ice or snow. He never considered being a truck driver either. But Canadian immigration consultants told him that getting experience in trucking could help him qualify for permanent residency. So a year ago, he got a license and found a company to work for in Surrey, BC. Mr. Singh says he had to give $10,000 in cash to GLT Transportation just to get hired. He had to give money to get hired, right?
Wow.
Then put up with a perilous working condition for weeks on end. I had two minor accidents in the first 4 months, he says. In my 6 month driving period, I only was in Surrey 8 to 10 days. Always we slept on the road. He has since found a better employer, but he's still appalled that a country like Canada allows reckless trucking companies to send nervous, unprepared newcomers like him on the highway. Everything is supposed to be by the rules in Canada, he says. But then... but
well, welcome to Canada.
But then when I start work, I found out that there are no rules. This truck in Surrey, BC is home to the offices of Lekwinder Singh, owner of GTL Transportation, his former employer. A Globe and Mail investigation had discovered that young foreign nationals like Mr. Singh are routinely steered into trucking by some immigration consultant in collaboration with particular trucking firms. Both take cash payoffs from recruits in exchange for jobs, even though that practice is illegal. That has spawned an entrenched, lucrative, and dangerous immigration scheme centered in Surrey that is exploiting newcomers and putting lives at risk across the country.
Wow.
So you know how sometimes like there are trucks late, like Glove.
Right.
We drive to Scarborough here.
Yeah,
there's been a few times I'm like, why? Like, it's funny because in the past, when I pass, like, when you would drive along the highway next to a truck driver, there used to be this sense like, what's more scary is the size of the vehicle.
Sure.
But there's this, for me, I felt like truckers are much safer because they have practice and, you know what I mean? They take training and they take like a lot more driving techniques and training that they have to take than a regular driver.
Sure. You got to get your AZ license. Got it.
Right. But lately, I don't know what's been going on, but I have noticed on the road, like, what is going on? Some drivers kind of going off a little bit, or like, it's strange, but maybe this could be it. Like,
yeah, but doesn't he have to have an AZ license to have access to be able to be insured by a company like this?
No, they're scheming their way through. So
No. I mean, the company who's putting them in a driver's seat can be liable.
Yeah.
Clearly, right?
They don't.
Or would they just like throw him under the bus and say he stole the van or he stole the bus or he stole it or something?
I don't think they would say stealing. I don't know. Who knows?
That's insane.
So an audio recording obtained by the Globe and Mail consultants told one international student a trucking job costs $35,000 to $55,000, an astonishing sum for aspiring immigrants who often borrow the money to pay the fee. The novice drivers are often unable to decipher Canadian road signs or handle their truck properly before being sent out on the roads. That inexperience has led to crashes and near misses, according to documented cases, as well as interviews with 24 sources, including truck drivers, dispatchers, tow operators, and industry representatives. The dangerous scheme has allowed to flourish partly because there is no systemic integration between provincial regulators by the trucking industry and those overseeing the immigration system at the federal level. The Globe and Mail, the Globe investigation has revealed that immigration authorities let trucking companies hire newcomers through the temporary foreign worker program, even when the carriers have a proven history of multiple injury accidents, serious safety violations, or exploitive labor practices.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a
there's a loophole there that somebody is banking in on, and it's dangerous.
Yeah. So if you go to the Globe and Mail and you search for how it'll be in the description too, how an immigration scheme, Yeah.
That sucks, man.
Mm-hmm. Also, I have two more news.
Oh my gosh, Shirley. Okay, let's go.
There's a brain shrinking fungus that's going around in Australia. It just became a little bit more dangerous. I mean, Australia is already dangerous enough.
Right.
So for the first time ever, one of the most toxic fungi in the world was found thousands of kilometers away from its native habitat in the mountains of Japan and Korea.
Can I ask what site this is from?
I think Listverse. Why?
I'm just wondering.
Why? Did you hear about this fungus?
No.
Some experts believe... Oh, so the fungus is known as the poison fire coral and was located in the suburb of Cairns. Some experts believe that it spread due to spores being carried by wind thousands of years ago.
Wow.
The method has led to rare sightings in other unexpected places such as China and Papua New Guinea.
Wow.
Therefore, just touching it can cause inflammation. If consumed, it brings on other symptoms such as vomiting, fever, and numbness, and requires immediate medical attention. Okay, one last
watch news. Out for that Australian fungus, y'all. It'll shrink your brain.
Yes. One last news. Celine Dion.
Why?
She postponed
Why?
Two.
Why?
She
postponed two. Why?
Why'd you turn off my microphone, man? Because
I have that power, and I kept hearing the word Celine Dion.
Well, just so you know, she postponed two more Montreal shows. Your face. Due to throat virus. Okay.
She got that Australian brain shrinking virus? Is that what happened? No. Oh, wait. It's a fungus, not a virus.
They said that the Friday and Saturday performance at Montreal Bell Center, that had Courage World Tour. That's what her tour said.
Oh, she's doing it without makeup. No. Courage.
It's been rescheduled, everybody. If you're in Montreal and you wanted to gotcha. See Celine, she couldn't perform because her throat.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. That's it for the news.
That's all you got?
Yep.
All right, sweetie, you want to learn about things that I learned on the internet?
What'd you learn?
I learned about a thing called the double bind.
Yes. What's that about?
Well, I kind of went over it with you previously, just to prepare you. Mm-hmm. And but the double bind is a situational language. It's a language game used by narcissists to display power and gain control over others.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, it turns out that these double binds can occur in daily life and also in extreme abuse.
Mm.
Victims often feel confused, rage, and despair at their entrapment and apparent lack of options. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you know what the double bind is technically and how it's defined technically anyways. And it's broken into four parts. And the first part is explicity. If you do some action, you'll be punished. The second part is implicity. If you don't do that action, you'll also be punished. Mm. And the third part is if you bring up the contradiction, you'll be punished. And the fourth part is you can't leave that situation. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's a narcissist's dream.
Well, I would rephrase that.
Okay.
Into that last part.
Sure.
That you can't leave.
Sure.
I would put it as the narcissist is going to make you believe you can't leave.
Right.
But you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're very good to convince you that you can't leave. But you leave.
What if you add a layer of power?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No, I mean like between police and someone that's pulled over.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, then some situation. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what they mean, right? Like it's a situation where you can't leave. If you're in the presence of a bully who's doing this to you, they'll like make sure you can't leave the house.
Right.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
But yeah, I see what you mean.
You have no other option but to address this double bind. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So an example of a doctor using double binds when they victim blame.
Mm.
So if you go to the doctor with serious symptoms, you're told you should have come sooner.
Mm.
If you go to the doctor with mild or vague symptoms, you're labeled a hypochondriac, you know what I mean, or a drug seeker.
Mm.
And if you point out the contradiction in that, you're labeled uncooperative.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So there's the no-win scenario.
Yeah.
It's damned if you do and damned if you don't. And the fourth part is that you can't leave, is you still need medical care.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have no other choice there. You're in a power relationship with a person who has access to your well-being.
Health, your well-being in their hand.
Exactly. Mm. So double blinds are used as a tool for oppression.
Mm.
And when they're used that way, they can sound like when children being threatened with punishment for telling about abuse or bullying. If they don't tell, the abuse continues.
Mm-hmm.
Women can be penalized in the workplace for both lack of assertiveness and lack of femininity with no approved like middle ground.
Mm.
So it's always a lose scenario.
Feel that.
Right. In
the corporate world.
And African Americans naming racist words and actions are told to watch your tone, no matter how gently the racism is pointed out.
Yeah, you could try all you want. You could sugarcoat it. You could like put a blanket over it.
You could say, I know you didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
Or I know that you didn't mean it within that context.
Yeah.
I know you're not a racist, but what you said was racist. You know what I mean? It still doesn't matter. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Red
yeah,
alert. Yeah, yeah. Stop saying the R word, because that's how come racism continues. Oh, I just said it.
Why are you being so aggressive?
Yeah.
I just said you're racist at the exact tone right here. I don't know why you freaked out.
If you get the feedback that what you said is racist, it shouldn't be like, no, it's not. What your feedback should be like, what?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
What?
Yeah.
I said something racist? What?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to tell me what it is, and you got to help me with this.
Yeah. Nope, but no. Some people are like, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, it comes out like, oh, yeah, okay. Okay, tell me what? Tell me exactly what I said that was racist.
Right, exactly. I was like, well.
Well, you said this. No, that's not racist. That's facts. That's science.
What I meant to say was.
That's math.
Yeah.
That's algorithms. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, like some, oh man, some people say some really ignorant ass, stupid ass shit.
Like sit the fuck down. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like, yeah, yeah.
Like, who invited you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
anyways, are you ready for this?
Yells.
Actually, should we take a break first?
No.
Bible scriptures.
That reminds me.
All right, Shirley, what did it remind you of?
I gotta give the new 90210 episode two more tries, like episode two and episode three, and then I'll make a decision.
Okay. I think you've already made your decision. Just saying.
Yeah.
So this week we're gonna do chapter 18, I think. Let me just verify that. Yes, we're doing chapter 18, and the players tonight are Joshua, God, and some surveyors.
Surveyors?
Yeah.
Okay.
So last time we heard about Joshua telling the people of Joseph.
Wait, before you go into
it,
I just want to say, I listened to an old show of ours.
Uh-huh.
And I thought Joshua, I was confusing Joshua for Aaron. Aaron was Moses' dude.
No.
Yes.
Joshua is Moses' dude. We looked it up and I followed up on this.
No. Joshua was the guy he sent to check up on the wasn't he the guy he told him to go and check up on the lands and stuff? Aaron was the guy who's always like being like that I felt for, the one that he's
being screwed over
or being like looked over.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, you need to recognize Aaron, man.
Gotcha.
Yeah, like I felt for Aaron. So it was Aaron, not Joshua.
Well, Aaron is no more. Yeah, Aaron left us.
Yeah.
Okay. So last time we heard about Joshua telling the people of Joseph to go kick some ass in the territory that God gave to their people.
Mm-hmm.
And how the Canaanites were some badasses who don't go down without a fight. And God could get rid of them. So God couldn't get rid of them. So he made them slaves. Yeah. Remember that?
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into chapter 18.
And some people try to make it out to be the Canaanites are black people. You know that, right? I've heard that. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, I hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And so I call this chapter. You guys want these or not? All right. So in chapter 18. The Bible tells us that all the Israelites have been camped out in a place called Gilgal since they arrived in the Promised Land. And they decide to have a general assembly to point out that seven of the tribes still haven't claimed the lands that they inherited from the big guy yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So why are y'all
taking your time?
For me, it's like these chapters end with like, and everything was good and everybody had what they needed. And then the next chapter starts with, well, there was still some people left over that didn't get what they wanted. It's like, why do you write this down if it's not the complete story?
Right.
Oh, my God.
What happened? Why are they so late? Why are they so last minute, like Toronto?
Right.
You know, Toronto, it is a issue, okay?
Differently still, guy. All right. So after hearing about this, the seven tribes that still hadn't gotten their inherited lands or whatever.
Mm.
So Joshua addresses the Israelites and he's all like, why the fuck are you guys sleeping on these lands? Just send out some surveyors. And when they get back with all the details of these lands, me and God will look over the notes and divide them up into lots for you.
Okay.
Okay. So again, the Bible points out that the Levites get nothing. Remember that? They're like, you just get to serve God and that's your reward, right?
Okay.
So up until now, that's what it's been. So, and their inheritance is all about serving God. So Joshua then gives the same instructions to the surveyors and reassures them he will separate the lands being surveyed into lots for everyone. So all the surveyors finally leave and come back with all the notes they took about the lands they surveyed. And as promised, Joshua divides the land up And the rest of the chapter describes the allotment of the for the tribe of Benjamin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Chapter 18. Done. Getting into chapter 19.
Okay.
I titled this one, is everybody good now?
Right.
So, okay.
God's children.
Chapter 19. The Bible goes over the allotment for the Simeon tribe. Then the tribe of Zebulun. Then the tribe of Issachar. Then the tribe of Asher. Then the tribe of Naphtali. Then the tribe of Dan. This is like, I have to read this.
Okay. So you're going through like what they're getting?
Oh, okay. Listen, this, okay. So this chapter 19 from, you know, verse 32 to 39, they talk about what the tribe of Naphtali got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then chapter 40 to 48, it's what the tribe of Dan got. So these, I guess, are the seven tribes, right?
Okay. Yeah. So they each get like different things.
Yeah.
Like,
well, similar but different.
Like a pebble.
Yeah.
And some sunflower seeds.
You get sunshine.
Or, right. Or a four leaf clovers. And a bag of rice.
I think they did go into it. I just kind of skipped over it. Okay. And I read this such a long time ago. So.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. So then finally the Bible goes over the allotment for Joshua. But it's hella boring like the rest. So yeah, we're going to move on.
Okay.
Chapter 20. I call this one, How to Get Away with Murder.
Ooh.
Yes. So now that everyone is settling into their blood-soaked inheritance.
Did they get a lot of stuff?
They got land. Like,
okay.
Whatever they took. Okay. So they would take a bunch of land, tell Joshua, hey, we got these lands. Then Joshua would go, okay, cut them up this way and live that way.
Okay.
So they got a lot of shit.
Got it.
And they took everything. If they didn't burn it, they stole it.
What do you mean? What?
Well, because they would go into the town, burn it down, and you know, they just do crazy shit. Okay. So anyways, so everyone is settling into their like inheritance from Joshua, and God
separated
comes,
by God and Joshua, right?
Yes, but I think it only describes that Josh is doing it
right
on God's behalf, kind of.
Got it. Yeah, got it. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure how involved God is in.
God's like, write this down, Josh.
Yeah, he's like, take a memo.
Yeah.
So so now God whispers in Joshua's ear, and he's all like, hey, Josh.
Whoa.
What's happening? Yeah, I'm going to have to get you to go ahead and set up those cities of refuge. You know, the ones I told Moses about back in the book of Numbers. You need to set these up in case anyone kills someone else, you know, by accident.
Okay.
This is so they can be protected from revenge. The idea is, when they start running away from the scene of the crime, they just have to make it to the gates of one of these cities and tell the elders why he's there. The elders have to admit these refugees, or these fugitives, without question, so they can continue living freely with the town folk.
Okay.
If anyone comes for revenge, the elders have to protect the fugitive. Because he probably didn't mean to kill anyone.
What?
Right? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Now make sure to remind them that the fugitive needs to stay put so they can go to trial. Only after they stand trial and the high priest of their homeland is dead can they return. So if you can go ahead and designate the cities of Kadesh and Shechem and Hebron for refuge, that would be great. Thanks.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So specific.
Yeah. So you understand the whole concept of the city of refuge?
So there's three tribes.
So if you kill somebody and you say you did it by accident, you got to run to the city of refuge.
Right. Oh my God. I forgot about that.
And they got to let you in and they have to believe that you accidentally might have killed somebody.
I think I learned that in Sunday school, in Jehovah Witness. Sunday school.
Really?
I think so.
You were at a Jehovah Witness Sunday school?
I went to so many different Sunday schools. Catholic Sunday school, Jehovah Witness Sunday school, Protestant Sunday school,
that's Mormon giving me goosebumps.
Sunday school.
It's giving me goosebumps, but it answers a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do chapter 21. And I call this chapter, Don't Mind the Canaanites.
Don't mind the Canaanites.
So once all the lands were handed out and divided amongst the tribes, the only tribe left without land were the Levites. I originally thought they would not be entitled to land and that, you know, serving God was good enough. But in fact, they were promised some land in the book of Numbers, chapter 35, verse 1 through 8. Mm. And the leaders of the Levites tribes reminded Joshua about this.
Like, hey, John, man.
Yeah, he's like, hey, what the fuck? Where's our land? So then Joshua proceeds to designate land for the Levites that were peppered like throughout Israel. So they didn't get like a chunk in a corner somewhere. It was kind of peppered all over in the larger cities. And this was intended to make the Levite priests as accessible as possible to all the people. So, yeah, so these guys are like representatives of Josh, I guess.
Okay.
Mostly placing them in cities of refuge. Once Joshua had given land to the Levites, there was no more land claims from the Israelites. Well, at least until the next chapter, right?
Mm.
So the chapter then finishes by saying that everyone was happy and fulfilled because God came through on all his promises up until then. But the Canaanites were still in and around the cities that God promised to drive out himself. So now, because God didn't follow through on that promise, the Israelites are now stuck with these Canaanite slaves. Hmm. And this is the way people live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a... Okay. No war.
That's it.
No bloodshed.
They're done. Well, we'll... Maybe they're done. We'll see.
Only one scheming. It's kind of boring. After? What's bloodshed?
That's it, honey.
So Game of Thrones in some way.
So next time we'll get into chapter 22.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be fun.
I'm excited to hear it. Mm. You know why? Best late and donate. Best late and donate. Best late and donate. Best late. You gotta do. And tribes,
yeah,
and all of the land separation,
oh yeah,
and all the land confusion. Pass the plate, pass the plate. Wait, hold on. Check out the Facebook group. Search for the Chonilla Podcast when you're there to interact with us and some of the. Share some of the current events you believe the Chonillians need to know. What the fuck is going on? You know why? Because that's the best way to donate. Best late and donate. Best late and donate. Your time. Positive and donate.
Tonight. I can't wait to get into the book or the New Testament.
Yeah.
That's going to
be fun.
To. Yeah.
Yeah, same. How many more till you think? That's a lot more.
Quite a bit. But we'll hammer through it. We'll do like more than one chapter a show, so.
I can't wait for New Testament.
All right.
Hey man, I just wanted to give a big shout out to Tyler Perry Studios. Tyler Perry, he's opening his studio like this weekend. As we speak.
That's great.
5th and the 6th, man. Wow.
In Toronto?
In Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And he's even got his own like highway exit road and stuff. Wow.
Good for him.
That's so dope.
Yeah. I'm totally jealous.
On a land that was, you know, Confederates used to meet up to. For real,
so
for real.
So rich.
On every level. No, but for real, like, shout out. Like, that's the goal. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be Tyler Perry because I just want to be myself. But it's really cool that, you know, creating opportunities specifically for, you know, people of color.
Yeah.
For all sorts of people.
Yeah, he's doing his thing, you know.
Yeah.
Creating content, being great.
Because sometimes you can only chase people so long that you have to realize, like, you know what? This ain't built for me. You clearly don't want me, so I'll just do my own thing.
Right.
You know? And then maybe They, you know, anyway, not even maybe, but yeah, no, it's very cool. Very, very, very
good for him. That's exciting.
Yeah. So I have a interesting listy. It's called it is the top 10 of the creepiest corners of the internet.
Okay.
Your face.
Can we just do the top three?
I'm just
going
to do four. I'm doing four. Okay. Don't, like, yes, I got you. I got you. We're not going to do all 10. All
right.
Because I was like, I heard your voice and that face. Right.
Go.
All right. So I had, there's some I was like, Anyway, I just want you to know, caution. There may be some disturbing, some of these websites may be disturbing to some individuals, so discretion is advised.
Okay, grown-ups only.
Grown-ups only. Do not look at some of these sites if you're going to look for that. That's why I'm like, anyway, if you're going to look at the article, I mean, it's really up to you, but these are the ones that kind of like stood out for me a little bit.
I can't wait to hear these.
So so one of them is called Plane Crash Info. It's planecrashinfo.com.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Advancement in aviation technology in the past few decades or so have made sure that traveling in an airplane is much safer affair than it used to be. A lot fewer people die in crashes these days than they used to, so much so that it isn't unheard of for all the passengers of a crash flight to have made it out without a scratch. Still, that doesn't mean that planes don't seriously crash with fatalities anymore. But on the site, basically, there might be cockpit voice recordings.
Oh my God.
Transcripts. And it's the last words or air traffic control tapes.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
I read maybe two and I was like, nope, can't. Nope.
No effing thanks.
Yeah. It wasn't that. Yeah. Yeah. Another site.
It's kind of stuff my sister would read. Well, yeah. She would totally love
that. She would totally love this. Yeah. She loves horror. Yeah. She would, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Another site is called, I think there's been a story about this lady, Deborah King. She has a site called Reborn Dolls.
Okay.
It's your
what?
Reborn-baby.com. Deborah King basically creates these dolls for people who figure that they need to be more human-like than they usually are.
Okay, wait. So the people getting these dolls need to feel more human.
Yeah, they want like babies, like dolls that looks like real.
So they can feel more human.
The dolls or the people?
The people. That's what I'm asking.
I don't know.
Okay, never mind. I don't know. What I heard. Okay.
Okay. So to that end, she takes regular dolls and rebuilds them to seem more human-like by a variety of homemade techniques and posts them for appreciation.
It's like a Frankendoll.
Yeah, like, have you seen some of them?
Nope.
Do you want to see?
No thanks.
Why?
No thanks.
Look.
Just put them in the show notes. I'll see it in the post.
I just want to look.
No.
Wait.
Oh my gosh.
So like, I mean, some of them, like this one here.
Yeah.
Like Amy Jasmine is a doll.
Okay.
That's like a doll.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's really good. Like, that's, yeah. That's too good.
Right? Or there was another one where, that one I don't know who would buy. So the baby we're looking at,
That makes it difficult for me to suspend my disbelief.
Right. So this one is like, the first one we saw is like a baby that's sleeping calmly. This baby, it's called Baby Enya, kind of creeps me out a bit because I'm like, why would you want a baby that looks like it's stretching or it's trying to push poop out?
Oh.
But it's very realistic looking.
Okay. What's number three?
It goes like, I don't know if I could be able to sleep.
Oh, my gosh. realbabydolls.com.
Yes. Real, is it reborn-baby?
Reborn.
Yes. reborn-baby.com. Can I just, okay.
Why reborn?
Okay. So
like zombies.
Here's the thing. Okay. Okay. Like I said, listener discretion is advised. Okay. My mind kind of went a little bit like left. And I thought, what if?
Why are you whispering?
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to hide something from God or something.
Go.
Okay. Okay.
Go.
Don't judge me.
I'm not judging.
You know what? It's fine. Judge me. I'm doing this for you because I know someone who's listening might think what I'm thinking right now.
I'm trash. I'm not judging anybody.
First of all, I just want to say I am trash as well.
Yeah, trash warning.
So don't send me some DM like, I can't believe I, like I said, you just listen what I'm saying right now.
Or fast forward.
I know I'm trash. Okay. We all are as human beings sometimes. Okay. No, a lot. Anywho.
This better be good.
So I started thinking. That these reborn-baby.com,
yeah,
it is not a joke. Like, for real, for real. This is like on an emotional aspect.
Okay.
What if there are people who have lost a child, a baby?
Holy snap.
And then she gets, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, that explains the name Reborn.
Right.
Oh, no.
Right. Yeah. I was like.
Oh, man.
Right. That some people, yeah.
Wow.
Or here's another take. I told you I'm trash.
Wow.
My mind goes left.
I'm glad you said that because it feels like maybe that would be like kind of a form of therapy, right? Like,
right.
Maybe.
People who, and at any stage, will like.
Form of closure somehow?
Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
But then I started thinking people who newly lost a child.
Yeah.
But then I thought, what if there's some people like who are elderly?
Right.
And they still want that feeling of their own child. Like their child is trash. Hardly stays in touch with them. And they're like, my only way to kind of be close to my child who's trash, who's hardly calling me, is I get a reborn-baby of my You're trash so child.
You're so dumb.
And get a baby version of my trash child who ain't calling me for like 3 months.
Oh my God.
So at least I have the doll baby version of my own kid who's trash.
Do you think there's like old ladies known as the reborn lady or the reborn couple?
Oh.
Where they own like 60 of these dolls?
Yes, there are. No joke. I think, Google it.
I guess you can collect them like anything, right?
Yes. And some people put them in like. They get a crib and stuff.
Nice.
They get a stroller for that baby.
We need to start making furniture for reborn dolls because then you don't got to worry about the insurance.
Right, right. Or I wonder if some are used for school, like for, you know, for like teen moms who ain't getting the, you know.
Do these cry as well?
No, I know. I don't think so, no.
Right, no. Nobody pays for that.
Yeah, no. What's a crying baby?
Yeah.
It's too real.
Yeah.
But then now we're getting to a different kind of reborn.
Can I have my money back? I didn't think this thing was going to cry. Yeah.
I want reborn, not real reborn.
Yeah. I don't want the anxiety of a child crying.
Right.
Thank you.
But
I want the serenity of a child sleeping forever.
Forever. But that's what I'm thinking. It's either people who collects them and loves. And I know there was a story. I think there is a documentary or one of those like shows about odd things that people collect or like or do.
Right.
Or eat or whatever. And I think, yeah, she has customers who are like obsessed with her stuff, her dolls.
All right. Number three.
The simulation argument. If you go to simulation-argument.com, it features blogs and studies by reputed authors. To make
I don't know the difference between the two.
Me too. Josh.
Okay, continue.
Reputed means by.
Oh, I'm so glad you looked it up. Thank you.
Be generally said or believed to do something or to have particular characteristic. That's what it means.
Okay.
Repute comes from the word repute.
Okay.
So, studies by reputed authors to make the argument for the world actually being a simulation. It's a whole website where people show articles and studies or statistics or whatever. They spend enough time on Trust us, we have in the list, they said. And there's a good chance you'd be convinced of it, as some of the arguments presented here are nothing of not reasonably,
structured or whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's what it is. It's about the argument that the world is actually being a simulation, like a matrix.
Just for you.
Yeah.
Just for you. Like no one, like is everybody in this simulation or is it just you and this whole simulation is just for you?
I don't know. I didn't want to.
Because if the whole simulation is just for them, it's solipsism.
Anyway, you'll find articles like The Matrix as Metaphysics on several brains in vats and matrix-like scenarios argues in support of what is also my contention, that the simulation hypothesis is not a radical skeptical hypothesis.
Yeah, I'm calling a bullshit.
Or are you a sim?
My counter thesis? Bullshit.
And you'll find other things like, are you a sim? Living in a simulated universe. Living in a simulated universe.
And just because you can make analogies and metaphors to living in these simulations doesn't mean it's true.
Oh, you know what, Clove? There are also articles. There's some background readings Skepticism, a contemporary reader. Whole brain emulation, a roadmap.
Oh, boy.
Super intelligent. Path, danger, strategies.
Sure.
How long before super intelligence? Mm. So you'll find stuff like that.
No thanks.
And then the last is called, this one is, that was like, ugh. It's called Death Row Last Words. There's an actual site.
Ew.
It's a government site. Oh. Texas government site.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Texas.
Right. Yeah, tdcj.texas.gov /death_row.
Mm.
And basically, it's self-explanatory by the title that you can read Texas record details of all of the death row inmates, and you can access it. It's free. It's out there where you can read their last words.
That's kind of creepy.
It identifies by you could see by the date, the offender information,
right?
It has their full name,
state sanctioned violence,
their age, their date, their race, and the county.
Wow.
Yeah. So I started clicking on some.
Mm-hmm.
Some, it's like, most of the time it's like, you know, tell my love once. And then I was curious, like, how many black people and white people or Hispanic people? Because that's how it's separated. Mm-hmm. It's like black, Hispanic, white, black, Hispanic, white, black, Hispanic, white.
Oh, yeah. They want to make sure that it doesn't look biased.
Yeah. So, like, things like, you know, last statements. You can read the last statement. Like, one person, I'm not going to say their full name, wrote, no, well, hi, Mary Jean, see y'all later. Go ahead, please. So this kind of...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And this is the Texas Department of Criminal Justice.
That's great.
Where you...
Okay, so I'm still reading that book. I'm about, I think, 85% through the book. The Man They Wanted Me to Be, Toxic Masculinity and A Crisis of Our Own Making by Jared Yates Sexton.
Okay.
So when talking about the bullies he had to endure specifically from friends and relatives... he wrote, men are kept in line by those closest to them.
Mm.
A terrible perversion of friendship and intimacy that keeps boys and men from ever really connecting with one another for fear of emasculation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's sad.
It is.
Y'all need to be emotionally, like, it's getting better, though. I think.
I hope so.
The younger generation are communicating, talking a lot more, being much more. I hope so.
The president is severely suffering from toxic masculinity.
Yeah, badly. And people are suffering.
I think we're going through a spike.
Yeah?
You know what I mean? We got, you know, people yelling that they're going to hang other people out in public and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Threatening lives. Mm-hmm. Right?
You mean like you think this toxic masculinity is, it's like, it's capping, basically. Like people are just like.
No, it's peaking.
It's like peaking. It's
okay. On the rise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know why it's on the rise? Because that's what happens with progress. You're going to have people
resistance to progress, yeah.
Deep resistance.
Yeah.
So it feels like we're taking two steps backwards.
Well, that's what I mean. It feels like a spike, right?
Yeah.
But the spike on the way down is still trending to be better, I guess, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. It is a pendulum that's, you know, it's kind of going backwards, but it's going to hit. It's going to come forward.
Yeah, I don't like calling it a pendulum because that makes it sound like it's even. You know what I mean? Like it's an even thing when it's like really racist and when it's not racist.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay.
So anyways.
Yeah.
So when talking about the relationship the author started to develop with his second stepdad, he says...
How many stepdads did he have?
Two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he says very quickly, he discovered the fraternity of masculinity was easy to enter as long as you didn't mind changing everything about yourself and following the tenets mindlessly.
The tenets. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So also when talking about how socialization plays a part in how men are conditioned to place gender on emotions, the author writes, the negative reinforcement in order to weed out perceived feminine characteristics routinely instills misogynistic and homophobic tendencies that impact personal relationships and political beliefs, often for the rest of the men's lives.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Men are trash.
White men are trash.
Y'all need to get, like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Therapy. Yeah.
So when talking about the stigma of masculine culture, the author adds, recent studies have shined a light on this incredibly important and misunderstood problem. In November 2016, weeks after Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, a joint study out of Indiana University and Singapore Nanyang Technology University showed that men who exhibit the traditionally accepted signs of masculinity were strongly correlated to poor mental health.
Ooh.
This is in part due to the self-reliance taught by socialization, but also because of just how unhealthy the masculine ideal truly is.
It's just not natural. It's not natural.
Yeah.
We are emotional creatures.
Yeah.
And we are communal creatures.
Yeah.
And in this society, who's predominantly been running by white male, cis male, it goes against the grain of the very core and human and what's that thing, you know, instinctual human behavior that we have, that we want to be emotional, we want to communicate, and we want to be communal.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think I always said that that's the reason why depression goes high. It's because it's this constant trying to meet up this toxic masculinity, this ideal of what cis white male who happened for the most part been in power in corporations, in government, who tells you that you're supposed to be like this, you're supposed to be like that.
Right.
You know, like, you're not supposed to be emotional. Don't show your feelings.
Yeah.
Don't take it personal.
Man up.
Man up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why are you exactly. Like,
don't be a bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
Things like that. That's just getting in the way of so many people's happiness.
Yeah,
because,
I'm familiar. Yeah.
Because, yeah, because it's again leaning towards
it's imposing
the natural state of what human beings want to behave and and basically feel.
Yeah, it gets in the way of cooperation too, which is like the main thing that has allowed human beings to succeed is cooperation. What this does is it takes advantage, it exploits cooperation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
this terrible. Is the reason why things get all messed up.
Yeah.
Because if you are raised as a man that tells you, hey, you can't be feeling this right now. Hey, don't you be crying.
Yeah.
When you're natural, it's like.
Stop crying before I give you something to cry about.
You're saying stop fighting your instinctual reaction to things.
Yeah, your emotional reaction and how to cope with this shared reality that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If something hurts you, mm-hmm. and you feel like crying because that's just the way you are structured and are.
Do you remember that story I told in one of the archive episodes where Ronan was at the soccer field and that kid got hit, like the soccer ball got kicked right into his face.
Okay.
And he started like crying and his mom yelled like, "Cry on the inside."
No, I don't remember that.
Yes. Wow. Yes. I'll never forget it. I was like, my eyebrows were like right at the top of my hairline. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad.
And this kid was like,
oh my God.
And he got hit like, you know, when you get hit in the face with a soccer ball, it feels like a brick. You know what I mean? Soccer balls are hard as fuck.
And it does look funny when it hits a kid.
I hate you.
It does.
Trash.
Benny Hill, I told you. I'm trash.
So when talking about the entitlement that masculinity has over the bodies of women, the author says, simply put, the patriarchal system that devalues women can result in any number of trespasses, everything from economic discrimination to harassment, stalking to murder.
Wow.
The system is untenable, unachievable, and when people are forced to conform, the consequences can be deadly.
Yeah.
And you were right too, because I'm just getting to the part in the book where he talks about how it plays a role in the life expectancy of men being lower than that of women.
Well,
yeah.
I told you. Listen to
dying of stress, dying of like, you know, concealing feelings and not being honest with doctors, all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are all things like you're not
dealing with PTSD without like properly being diagnosed.
Not like wanting to get checkups because you feel like I'm a man, I don't need
going through the roller coaster of like anxiety and depression and not having an access point.
It explains why so many back then would drink.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people
back
like
then?
Still till this day. Yeah.
It's even more prevalent now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like the way
opioid crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. There's this is just it. Like it's never been dealt with. You know what I mean? And it's not dealt with because of toxic masculinity, where it's like you don't qualify as a man if you fall into this, if you have these emotions, if you have these like bouts of depression, you're not a man.
And it affects women because there are some women who buys into this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, who works in corporations thinking that that's how they should run, that's how they should do or move up in the ladder by not being emotional. They're like, don't be emotional.
Yep.
Or don't like, it's so bullshit.
And what that's
called?
And
we are all conditioned.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say this. We are all conditioned.
Yes.
Because sometimes, hey, we're adults, okay? So get ready. Sometimes I have my period, okay? And I need to go and change my stuff, okay? And then I'm like, why do I have to hide my pad as I'm walking to the bathroom? Because I need to take care of my hygiene. I need to take care. It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit that I have to like,
I agree,
maneuver and find like, you know, on those days, I make sure I have pockets. You know, and then when I start, you know what I mean? I make sure I have pockets for the next 3-4 days what I'm wearing so I can put my pad or my tampon in my pocket as I'm going to the freaking bathroom because of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Or what I've been doing, I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Sure, I don't want to have it out there.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing, I have a little purse. And then for 3-4 days, people know in my office. Oh, she has a purse. The rest of the time, I don't have my purse and I just go to the bathroom.
You think people give a shit about what purse you bring to work?
No, they don't.
You think people are like taking notes on an Excel sheet? Like, oh, she's got her small purse today. Check.
No, they don't.
Oh my God. All these small purses are coming in at a certain time of the month. Right. I don't understand.
But even that's the thing though. There's some days I'm like, why am I going through this whole process of putting it in my purse and then I have to take my purse to the bathroom? This is so stupid.
I get it. Yeah.
This is so dumb.
It is.
You know? Why do like I wanna wear no bras and I don't need you to be staring at my titties. Okay? Like control your eyes.
Yeah.
Clovis looking at me.
Those are nice titties, though. Anyways, okay. I'm trash. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But what you were talking earlier about, about like, sometimes women adopting those, yeah, those masculine kind of, like, tropes or whatever.
Yep.
Well.
They buy in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing that he describes in the book called performative masculinity.
Mm.
And that's basically when guys walk around looking all tough and when they, you know, have their cowboy hat on a certain way, or they, you know what I mean? Like things that you.
They walk real stiff.
Right. Like, I'm a man. That's performative masculinity.
That's their idea of masculinity.
And not just men can do it.
Women do it too.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's unachievable. Do you know what I mean? So you lock yourself into this pursuit of something that just doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, just be you.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much.
And it's so funny, too, that we talk about this, because even in the LGBTQ community, there are times where it's like, that's even put in there. Like this idea of
male white patriarchy.
She's butch, or he's more feminine. Like, come on.
Yeah.
The person can just be who they are.
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yes. they just are.
But some men and some women identify as femme. So
yeah.
It's, you know, yeah, it's up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, man. We're done?
Yep.
Oh.
That's it, baby.
You don't want to hear more about Celine Dion or anything?
No, thanks, honey.
Aww.
Let's wrap this shit up.
Email us, chonillalove@gmail.com. We'd love to know what you think of the show. You want to, like, bring some clarity to some of the things that we've said. Again, email us, chonillalove@gmail.com. And I'd love, if you are an interracial couple, and it doesn't have to be, like, black and white, any interracial couple, we want to hear your story. How you met. What did you think of each other? What did your family think about y'all relationship? You know, things like that. Again, email chonillalove@gmail.com. That was fun.
It was, baby.
And sorry for the dark websites.
That's okay. Maybe we can do 4 to 7 next week.
No. I'm not sharing those.
All right. Good night, everybody. Try to smile this week. And
what's the any quote?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Thank you so much for reminding me of that, sweetie.
Okay.
I'll bring it up just a second. All right, the quote is, I think the big thing about feminism is that it scares men because, you know, the big deal is that people are scared of being controlled. I want to be clear that feminism is not saying women are better than men. That's not what's going on. The problem is that men have always felt like they're more valuable. I have been that guy where I felt I was more valuable than my wife and kids. And that was Terry Crews.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
All right, everybody. Take care. We love you. See you next week.
Bye.
Yeah, you can talk about Celine Dion all you want. I'll just edit it out.
Don't do that.
It'll only be a live performance event.
That's not cool.
Hey, man.
People need to know about Celine, man.
My legacy is Celine free.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chonilla Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and leave a review. I guess.